I know their name. I know their name in Jesus. And so, Lord, today we come close to you. We sing to you. We enjoy you because of the incredible life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And in that song we just sang, it's a beautiful line. And I just want us to lean into it just for a moment before we open up the scriptures today. It says that my sin was great, but your love was greater. Man, if we could just literally, if we could just walk away with that truth down deep, man, today, it would change some lives. And so I just want you to think about that our sin was great. We can all just acknowledge, man, we have made mistakes. We have intentionally done things that we know are not aligned with God, and yet his love is greater. Can somebody just say amen to that this morning? And so let's just meditate on that truth just for a second before we open up the scriptures. I just want you to picture, like, the incredible love of God. It says that in Romans 8, it says, nothing can separate us from his love that's in Christ. And so I just want to give you a second, man. If there's something you're feeling like, man, today, man, I struggle with this week, or man, this thing in my life hasn't gone well, or I haven't been doing the right thing in this relationship. I just want to give you a moment, just you and the Lord, just to make that declaration that, yeah, my sin is great. We can just acknowledge that our sin was great this week, but the truth that we're rallying around, that his love is greater today. It's greater. See, his love overshadowing and taking out all the things that we want to try to tell him, the reasons why he shouldn't love us, all the reasons why he shouldn't speak to us, all the different reasons why we have failed. And today he just wants you to know, man, his love is even greater. And so, Lord, will you take a deep breath and rest in that truth? The songs that we sang today are beautiful and so powerful and true. And today we just take a deep breath in that, knowing that we're not trying to earn your attention. We're not trying to perform for some God, but today we're just learning to be with you, to walk with you, to be in community with you and with one another. And so, Lord, teach us to receive your love today, to give it to ourselves and then to extend it to others. We ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Man, the name of Jesus, what a name, man. Beautiful. Well, good morning. Welcome to Christ Fellowship. I hope you're having a good weekend. Anybody enjoy some college football this weekend? Come on. Yes. I hear the Vols are playing some night this week, right? Thursday. I won't be watching that. There's another team playing that night. But, man, it is good to be with you guys. My name is Derek. If you're a guest, I just want to welcome you. We hope that you feel welcomed here. We pray that you feel loved today. But more than anything else, we pray that you have an encounter with the living God, that you would experience his presence, and because we believe it's in his presence that everything changes. And so I'm praying that even during worship and now as we open up his word and as we have some time in prayer at the end, that you would encounter God, who wants to be encountered really today. He wants you to encounter him today. We are in the last week of a series that's entitled Partnership today, and I've been unpacking four areas that I believe that God is moving today in this season in his church, the global church. But obviously to our context here at Christ Fellowship, these are four areas that we believe in this new season that we're in, that God is inviting us to learn about and to partner with him in to see it happen on the earth. And so these four things I've been talking about. Number one was simplicity, that we would be a people that are simple. Everything in this world, it tends to be chaotic. It tends to be more and more complex. And yet God has said, listen, I want to be enough for you. And so we talked about, man, what's it look like to abide, to be with God, and that he really is enough. That means on Sunday morning, yes, but that also means on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that we are walking with God. That's our prayer. That's my prayer as your pastor to help you do that. So we talked about simplicity. Then we talked about unity. That, man, unity is not natural, and there are so many reasons why we could choose to not be united. There's so many offenses that are happening. There's so many differing opinions and all that. And so we talked about that as a church, man, the way that the world knows that God is who he says he is by as he looks to the people of God and he sees us unified. He sees us loving one another. And then like we talked about, is when we love our enemy. Oh, man, it's in that, his profound love is seen beautifully. And so we talked about unity. And I believe that the church has an incredible opportunity in this day of separateness, in this day of division and political sides and every issue, that we have a chance to be unified. And so we as a church, we are trying to pioneer that as much as we can. In this region, we've been connecting churches and we've been partnering in worship and prayer times and we've been collaborating with different churches because we believe that the church is the church, not a little church. Come on, amen, right? That the kingdom of God is much bigger than our little CF kingdom. Can we just say amen to that, right? So we want to see that. More and more, we want to see the Tri-Cities Church be the church that's really going to see a change in our region. And then last week, we talked about wisdom. Man, wisdom. Who could use some wisdom? My goodness. Thankfully, the scripture says if you ask, man, he'll give it to you without any strings attached. And so we want to be a people with humility that we recognize, man, we need heaven's wisdom. Man, we don't need more of man's wisdom. We don't need more strategies. We need the connection with God that we receive wisdom from him and that we carry that, not just on Sundays, but we carry it into our workplaces, that we see the problems of this world actually begin to be solved by the people of God so that the name of Jesus is lifted up. Does anybody else want to see that here today, right? That we want to see the name of Jesus glorified. And I believe that happens when the people of God actually work to the benefit of their city. Work for the benefit of their company, their coworkers, their city, their region. And so we want to be that kind of church. And then the last thing that we believe that God is inviting us and he wants to give us in this next season, whether that's 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I don't know, but it's going to be a vital part of our focus. But the fourth area is what we've been singing about today, and that's power. Everybody say power. Power. That was a little weak on power, but we'll give you that for later. But today I want to talk about power a little bit because I believe that God wants to teach us how much power he has given the church. Now, I just want to make it real clear that the church has never been lacking power. There we go. Somebody said amen. Do we believe that? Like, do we believe that? We can be honest today. Sometimes we don't believe that, right? But today, my hope is to unpack for you what is this power and what does it mean for you? Like, it's one thing for like a church gathering or like a pastor or an evangelist or some missionary or something, but what does it mean in your life? That's what I want to get to. I'm trying to get down to that granular level today. And so I'm going to be all over the scriptures, especially on the front end, and then I'm just going to unpack and give some really practical application today. I pray that it would be practical. I pray that you would be able to take today and you'd be able to put it into practice this week. But I want to start out with just setting ourselves in the scriptures because we love the scriptures here. We believe that they lead to life. And so I'm going to start out in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then from there I'm going to land in Acts. And so if you have your Bible, if you want to turn with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I've referenced this scripture before, and I think right now in this day, I think all of us, as we read this, we're going to be like, yeah, I think we're right there in the middle of that scripture. Like right here today in our culture, what's happening in the world, I believe we're right there. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. It says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous." It gets better. Keep hanging with me here. "Without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit." Keep on going. "Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Now look what it says here. "Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power." Now, how many of you, as I read that list, you're like, I can see where we fit in our culture right now. Anybody else agree? You're like, that pretty much sums up kind of where we're at. It's not even a hidden thing. It's like, this is where we're at as a country, but also around the world. Like this list, I think any of us, this list could be read and you'd be like, yeah, that's the world that I live in. And Paul says, listen, in the midst of that, he's writing to believers. This list, he's saying, is present in the church at this time. Not our church, but he's saying this to a group of believers. Whew. should make us step back a little bit. Don't step on my toes, Paul. Come on now. But he's speaking to believers and he says, this is what's present. And he says, these people have the appearance of godliness. You know what that means? That means they have a facade. Man, they want the community to see their Jesus hat and the feathers in it. They want the people in their lives to see the plastic smile that we sometimes sell Christianity as. They know the verse to say. Sometimes not always the right time to say it, but they know the verse to say. They have the appearance of knowing God. But it's just the appearance. It's empty. It's void. It's a facade. It's a show. And he says in that, they deny the power of God. Oh, man. So when all these things are happening, you'll see that there'll be people that have the appearance of godliness, but they will deny the power of God. And what Paul says here, he says, avoid such people. Whew. Avoid such people. Be careful around such people. You don't want to get sucked into it. You don't want to become like them. So he says, be careful. Avoid such people. And so as a church, man, we recognize that we live in a day that there's a lot of chaos. A lot of this list is happening. And unfortunately, even as followers of Jesus, there's a lot of these lists that happen in the church at large. But we as a people here at Christ Fellowship, we don't want to be part of the group of people that deny the power of God. So here at Christ Fellowship, we believe that God's powerful. We don't just sing songs because they sound good, because they made some top 10 list. We sing the songs like this morning because we actually believe that God is able. Does anybody else believe that God is able, right? Does anybody else believe that there's really, what he told Mary, there's nothing that's impossible with God. Does anybody else believe that here? I do. We do as a church. We believe that. And so when we talk about power, that's another word that can hijack a lot of people because power means a lot of different things. In the context of the world, man, power is abused and used for really bad things, right? How many of you have ever worked for somebody that was on a power trip and it was really bad? Come on, let's just be honest here. Okay, a few of you. I'm surprised. I figured everyone has seen somebody with power, hunger, loves the thing. And so power can be really, 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 really bad when its objective is self-interest and self-promotion and self-protection. But this is not the power that God has. It's a counterfeit, right? The enemy, everything that God does, the enemy wants the counterfeit. And so the counterfeit we see in culture, the use of power for our own gain, that's not of God, okay? That's not of the Lord. That's not the wisdom from heaven. And so when I say power, the word that we see most commonly in the Greek is the word dynamis, which you may recognize sounds like dynamite, right? Dynamis. And that word means power, mighty work, miracle, or strength. This is the power that I want to talk about today. Power in the scriptures is an ability or something that happens that's beyond human ability. The power that I'm talking about today is not something that you can will yourself into. It's not something that you can train yourself into. It's not something that you can work out and figure out. But the power that we're talking about today, the power that God wants his bride, the church, to walk in, is a power that is beyond human ability. And this is the power that we see Jesus walk in. Acts chapter 10, 36, 38. It's going to be on the screen here. Luke is writing and he's talking about Jesus. And he says this. He says, for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourself know what happened throughout all Judea. Beginning from Galilee, after the baptism of John proclaimed how God anointed Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? Power. That's dynamis, okay? So God the Father, he anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and power, okay? So this is what God did. How did Jesus walk? He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit as he walked the earth, right? So he said he anointed him with the Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so as a pastor, my heart and my endeavor and my prayer for our church is that we would look more and more like Jesus. The goal of our church is not to just fill up a room. It's not to keep you busy, to get your money, contrary to what maybe few believe. Actually, Man, our heart and our desire is to see each person be all that God designed them to be. And what God designed you to be is an image bearer of him. And so my prayer for you, above every other thing, is I want to see the maturity of faith in your life. So what we read about in Ephesians chapter 4, that part of my role as your pastor is to see the maturity of the faith so that you and me would grow into the likeness of Christ, who is the head of the church. And so my prayer for you and for me is that we would continually grow to be more and more like Christ. And that looks a couple different ways. One is character. How many of you know that Jesus's character, he wants that in you? Does anybody else believe that today? I'm really trying to get you guys, I guess, engaged out the gate. So I need you guys, when I say question, you say whatever the answer is. Don't lie to me, but just tell the answer, okay? So we see Jesus, and we see that in Galatians 5, he says the fruit of the Spirit is for those that are led by the Spirit. Submit to the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a characteristics of Jesus, and Jesus is the embodiment of God. And so these godly characters in Jesus, he also wants in you and me. I want that in you too. I want them to grow more and more in me. But Jesus, he didn't just live a perfectly moral life, although he lived a perfectly moral life. Man, he was without sin. Man, there was no separation in him ever. And he wants us to walk as he walked on the earth. But also what we see in Jesus, it wasn't just this morality, this fruit and character, but he also walked a life of power. And so as followers of Jesus, man, I want you to be more and more like Christ. That means, yes, I want you to grow in integrity. Man, we need some integrity in this time. I want you to grow in patience. I want you to grow in loving your neighbor. I want you to grow in loving your enemy. Man, all of these, they express the kingdom of God. But I also want you and me to walk in the power of God. Because this is what Jesus modeled a life looks like. It's not just how can I get you to stop doing wrong things and do right things. That's like low level. It's how can I walk like Jesus walked? That's what I want for you. And that's what we're talking about today, power. And thankfully, this is not my idea. This is actually the idea of Jesus. He desires this for you too, because when he was about ready to ascend into the heavens and be seated at the right hand of the Father after his death, after his resurrection, 40 days, as he ascended to be the Father, he said one last thing on the earth. And he said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you, my followers, you will receive, what's that word? What was that word? You will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, I told you it wasn't Derek's thoughts. It's actually Jesus' thoughts. That he wants you to walk in power. He wants your life to be marked with the power of God. And honestly, this is something that I feel like, man, I'm an infant in this. I've seen a lot of incredible things, honestly, in my life. I've prayed for people. They've been healed. I've seen demons come out of people. It's incredible and powerful. You stand in awe of God. I've seen some pretty radical things, but honestly, I feel like I'm just learning. I feel like I'm a little kid in kindergarten saying, God, would you teach me what your power looks like? Because I read what Paul writes to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians, and he says, listen, my speech to them was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. And so just being honest, as a pastor, Sunday comes pretty regularly. It's kind of this thing, it just keeps coming. Every 7 days, it keeps coming. When I read a scripture like what Paul just says there, like he didn't come with man's wisdom. He didn't come to this group of people to impress them, to get them to ooh and ah over his ability to use words and phrases and alliterations and all the things. Like he said, actually, I didn't come with the wisdom that I could have wowed you with. Instead, I came with demonstrations of the power of God and the Spirit of God. And what he said, the reason why, he said he didn't want their faith to be in him, but in the power of God. And honestly, I'm growing in that because I feel like sometimes when I preach or sometimes when I meet with somebody, I'm counseling them or I'm leading a small group of people that sometimes I just feel like what I just gave him was me, the best of me. And it's humbling, right? Because the best of me on the best day is still not good enough. But what I long for, what I've been praying this week is that my life would be marked with the power of God, that you wouldn't put your trust in me, but in God who created me and his power. You see, God gives us power to reveal the kingdom of God. This is what we see. We see Paul. He says, listen, I came with demonstrations of the Spirit and of power, and what was the purpose? So that you would place your faith in God, that you would put your faith in the power of God. Or we read about when Jesus, he had just cast out a demon out of a man. And the religious leaders, they got kind of jacked up with this. How many of you know, sometimes the power of God, sometimes the religious struggle with that, right? This is not a new thing, by the way. It's been happening for a long time. And so Jesus cast out a spirit, and they begin to say, man, you did that through demonic powers. And Jesus says this. He says this amazingly. He says, listen, if I cast out this spirit, this demon with the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. What Jesus is saying is, listen, if the kingdom of God comes in power, the purpose of that is not for you to stand in awe and wonder and say, good job, that's incredible. It's for you to know the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you'll know the King, who is Christ. And so the purpose of power is not for somebody to have a ministry, a traveling ministry. The purpose of power is not for you to get your kicks and to say, wow, look at this. The purpose of the power of God is to reveal the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen to that, right? So the power is not the goal. I thought we were talking about power, Derek. Yeah. Power is the means to an end. The end is you encountering God yourself. Whatever it takes, whatever means it is, but power is one of the ways that we see. That's why when Jesus sent out the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, he says, these 12 Jesus sent out and he instructed them, go nowhere among the Gentiles. They weren't ready for that yet. Enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So go to the Jewish brothers and sisters. Proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here in our midst. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out the demons. You received without power, now give without pay. What was the purpose of power in this sending out? It was to reveal the kingdom of God. It was for people to encounter his presence and to be transformed. What I love about God's power is it at its core, it destroys the works of darkness. So you wonder, man, what does God's power look like? And Jesus came to undo the works of Satan. That's what power does. Any area of your life where there's darkness, any area of in your sphere of influence where there's brokenness, I'm telling you, God's power, when it breaks in, it brings reconciliation, it brings restoration, and it undoes the power of the enemy. This is what the power of God does. And you say, well, what does that look like, Derek? Well, here's a list. It's not all inclusive, but here's a list of the different things that power could look like. How many of you believe that the power of God is salvation? Anybody else say amen to that? You experienced that, the power of breaking sin, forgiveness, love, and mercy, incredible. But we also see the power of God as people are healed physically. This is a huge part of Jesus' ministry, declaring and proclaiming the kingdom of God through demonstrations of power, through deliverance. I just talked about that. Through resurrection, obviously the power of God when he raised Jesus from the dead. How many of you know that was a very powerful moment on the earth? Same power that is now in us, by the way. Wow. It could be forgiveness. Man, one of the most powerful things you could do is to forgive somebody who's offended you. Man, the power of God, when we forgive somebody who is not even, we don't believe is worthy of our forgiveness, Lord, the power of God, boom. I would say equally as powerful as somebody being healed of some kind of disease. We're not able to do it. It's only by the power of God that we can do those things. Prophecy, words of knowledge, perseverance and endurance, huge one. Miracles, signs and wonders. And then that last one that is a struggle sometimes for us. Man, loving your enemy. Oh. The power of God. I believe that he wants us to walk in it. He wants us to live a life where we demonstrate his power. And so today, I want to give you some practical application. And so I brought a little prop here. And so the thing about the power of God is it's very similar to electricity. Now, let me just say, it's not electricity, just so there's no confusion. But the power of God is very similar to how electricity works in general, all right? And so I pulled this out of my basement. Don't tell my wife. I pulled it out this morning, threw it in my truck. Hopefully I get it back in one piece. But I wanted to demonstrate just kind of some areas. So if we're going to walk in power, I want to show you how does electricity work. So number one, for electricity to work, we are trying to light up this bulb in here, okay? There's a bulb in here. We want to light it up. So first, we have to have a power source, all right? So right here, I've got a little pigtail down here, and this is our outlet. Obviously, somewhere along our power grid system, there is a power plant. Something, a windmill, coal burner, whatever you like, it's somewhere. Just believe what you want to believe this is from. And it is a source of power. And somehow, incredible, our infrastructure in this country, it is making its way to this stage. I mean, just wow, aren't people just innovative? Isn't it incredible? We just take so much for granted. But in order for us to see the power flow to this light bulb, we have to have a power source. Now, this power source in itself, it doesn't do any good if there is no connection. And so in order for us to see the power get to this light bulb, there has to be some connection, right? And so we have this plug here. And so I plug it in here, and I am now connected to the power source. Now you notice nothing happened, right? So we have a power source, we're connected to the power, but yet that light switch is not. And the reason why, and some of you engineers in the room, you understand this, that there is actually a circuit in line here, and there is actually an opening right now because the circuit's not closed. Right now, it's an open circuit, and so that electricity is actually flowing right now all the way through it. It's getting all the way to this little switch, and it's not going into the light bulb because there's an opening. But once we make the decision, once we take an action, and I turn this light bulb on, we have power. So we have a power source, we have a connection to the power, and then the circuit's closed because we make a decision to turn on the switch, and there we see the fruit of the electricity. We have a light bulb that's on. Now, I believe this is a pretty good analogy. Now, it falls short in lots of ways, so it's not a perfect analogy, but it's a pretty good analogy, I think, of how the power of God flows. We know the power of God flows. We see Jesus, it says several times in the scriptures that the power of God flowed from him. We see that there's power. And so what I want you to see is these three things. So number one, the power source that we have is who? God. Yes, good job. God is our power source. Who is our power source? God, right? He is the one that created everything. There was nothing. And he's spoken into existence. I don't know about you, that's a lot of power. And the scriptures say that there is nothing that's held together that's not held together by him. That he holds all of the, Colossians 1 says, everything was made for him, by him, and through him. That he is the source of all power. Created it all. All the atoms, like literally, like what's amazing to me, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but even though this is a solid piece of metal, do you know that there's little atoms in here, there's little molecules in here, and they're all vibrating at a very high frequency? Like this is solid, but actually, this thing's moving right now on a micro level. And you know what the scripture says? It says even those are held together by God. Wow. He's the power source. And we have to recognize that if we're gonna walk in power, we gotta recognize we have a power source, but also just like this plug, we have to recognize that the power source of God, it's only experienced if we are connected to God. And this is what goes back to the first message in this series, that abiding, that we are empowered as we abide, as we're connected to him, right? This is what we see in the scriptures. Consistently, all throughout the church, Jesus says, listen, unless you abide in me, unless you are connected to me, you will bear no what? Fruit. You will bear no fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, but actually the context of John 15, he's talking about power, supernatural power. This is what he's talking about in John 15. So he says, apart from me, you will do nothing. And so we got to recognize, man, we have a power source, God, but to walk in his power means that I'm connected to him, that I'm walking with him. That's why when the disciples had a person come to them and they said, will you heal my son? He's got a demon. And they tried to do the thing. And They come to Jesus and like, man, we couldn't do it. What do we need to do? And Jesus is like, man, how long do I have to put up with you guys? And he commands the demon out, and they have like a little debrief, and they're like, Jesus, what was that about? Like, why couldn't we do it? And he said, this kind only comes out through what? Prayer and fasting, or some just say prayer. And you know why that's important? What is prayer? Prayer is our connection with God. In prayer, I'm not trying to get God to do what I want him to do. I'm trying to learn what he's doing, and I'm trying to join him. See, prayer is relationship. Prayer is abiding. It's learning to be with God. It's learning to walk with God. It's learning to think the way he thinks. It's learning to actually ask the things that he actually wants me to ask him. That's why he says, man, prayers that are aligned with his will, watch out, they're filled with power. They're filled with power. And so we want to abide, but also we see in the scriptures that power flows as we step out in faith to join God in any given situation. And that's why, just like I had to turn this light switch on, right now there's power flowing right now. There's power source, there's power flowing, just like in your life. Man, if you're a follower of Jesus, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit lives in you. That means the power of God is in your midst. But how many of you know, if we just stop there, we never see this happen. We never see the light come on. We never see the power of God displayed. Because in God's amazing insight and the way he designed creation, it's that his power flows through people. And sometimes I'm like, God, is there a better way? Like, I'm kind of jacked up. I miss it a lot, God. Like, but no, he says, listen, Derek, I want my power to flow through you. And that means that you and I, we have to make some decisions sometimes, that we actually have to step out if we want to see the power of God. Let me just say this and kindly as I can. If you want to see the power of God, does anybody want to see the power of God more in their life? By the way, I want to see the power of God. If I want to see the power of God, let's say I want to see somebody healed like Jesus saw, or that we've seen in this church. I want to see somebody healed. If I never pray for somebody to be healed, am I ever going to see my prayer answered that I never prayed? No. Because I got to turn the switch on. I got to make the connection. I got to give space for the power of God. And so when I step out and somebody at work is having a back that's really hurting, and I say, hey, could I pray for you? And they say yes. I don't back up and say, okay, I'll pray for you tonight before I go to bed. That's an easy way out, isn't it? It's so good. But what if I said, oh, hey, can I pray for your back? Just real humbly. And they say, yeah. And so I said, hey, can I pray for you right now? They'll be like, yeah. And you know what you've done? You've given the chance, the opportunity. You've set the table for the power of God to move, right? And so, man, if we want the power of God, I'm telling you, we got to get outside of our comfort zone. We gotta step into the area of like, I don't know, God, but how many of you have ever experienced, man, it's in that unknown, it's in that stepping out, God, I believe this is you, and I'm gonna step out. It's in those moments that I see the God of power move. But if I'm gonna play it safe, and if I'm never gonna take a step out there, and if I'm just gonna just do my thing and be really reserved, man, the power of God is there, but it's not gonna be transferred very often. And so we gotta be a people that are willing to take risks, to step out, and that pray, and that do things, that forgive, that put ourselves in a position where we have to depend on God. And I'm going to close out with just this list here that I put together for what does practical power look like every day. And then I want to share an example, and then we're going to share a few things that we believe that God wants to do today in this room. But I put this list together because I think it's helpful, because when we talk about this power thing, sometimes we have some thoughts that come to mind, like if I'm gonna walk in the power of God, I've gotta have a big voice and I've gotta be really loud, because somebody on TV you saw do that once. Man, I just made it real clear, God is not interested in your bravado or your hype. He doesn't need it. Like, can you imagine, like, do you really think Jesus was like a showman like we see a lot of people, like televangelists and all that stuff? Do you really think that that's how Jesus operated? No, he says he was meek. He was humble. And so I just want to encourage you that, man, you don't have to have a big personality. You don't have to be, you know, start quoting from a different, you know, some King James version. You know, if you like the King James, that's great, but you don't have to quote that. Like, you don't have to speak in some British accent, you know. Just be yourself, right? And that gets kind of the first point here. So as we're talking about this list of things, so how do we walk every day? How do you, on Monday, how do you walk in the power of God? How do we do that? Number one is we connect with God and we remain aware of his presence. That's why prayer is so crucial to us walking in power. That's why worship, where we connect to God, where we sing out to God, or where we respond to who he is and what he's done in our life. That's why meditating on the scriptures, the truth. That's why reading this Bible, not just because I have to, but because I want to get to know God, because I want to be aware of him all day long. That's the beauty of this. And so for us to walk in power, it begins with us being connected to God. We can't expect the power of God to flow through us if we don't have a connection with God. And so it begins with us humbling ourselves, seeking God and staying connected with him. The second thing that I would say is that we have to remember that we are not the source of power, so we can relax. Everybody just take a deep breath. Keep your breath down low though. Don't like spit it out. It's not on you. And I hate, honestly, there's been teachings and theologies over the history where there's been so much emphasis placed on the person and not on the God who the person is representing. And so I just want you to like take it easy, like take a deep breath. Like when you step out and you offer to pray for somebody, it's not on you for them to be healed. Isn't that so freeing? Like, it's not on you. Here's the thing. You cannot heal anybody. You can't, but I know a God who can. And so I want to connect them to the only one that I know that actually can heal their marriage, that can heal them physically, that can work through their emotions, that can actually bring forgiveness and reconciliation. I want to connect them to the God who can, because I cannot. And what I've found is there's so much freedom in that, that when I step into a situation, it's not on me. Oh, I just get to be who God called me to be and step in obedience and step out. And so I can relax. I don't have to put on a show. I don't have to perform. I just get to be, and I get to partner with what God's doing. The third thing, and this one's so important, is that when we step out in power, we step out with expectation without manipulation. Man, power, it's a scary thing sometimes. And people get wild when power is in the conversation. And so let me just give you a little insight how we approach prayer here is when I pray for somebody, or when our team is down here, like they're gonna be here in just a few minutes, when somebody comes and says, hey, I need prayer, to me, I fully expect that God is gonna do something. I fully expect he's gonna do something. Why? Because that's his nature. I believe he's gonna do something. Does that mean that I believe he's gonna heal 100% of the time? No. It doesn't. But what I believe is that God is at work in their life. And so when we pray, when their faith comes and they say, man, will you pray for me for fill in the blank? I believe that God is going to move. And so I don't want to try to manipulate God to tell him what I think he should do. How many of you know God's ways are way higher than our ways? And how many of you know, man, sometimes, man, he wants to bring healing, but how many of you know sometimes he wants to work through some unforgiveness first? Sometimes he wants to work through some bitterness first. Sometimes he wants to go back to that thing that you thought was disqualifying you, and he wants to remind you, man, he qualified you, not you. And sometimes that's the pathway to being healed physically, to being healed emotionally, to being healed whatever we're asking for. And so we got to recognize, man, it's not my job to try to put God in a hard spot. Or what I hate is that we would manipulate people. Listen, I hate manipulation. I hate it. And honestly, there's a history in the church, not our church, but the church, where people are manipulated in prayer times, and somehow it's on them and their faith or their lack of faith and all this stuff we put on people. I'm just saying, that's not of God. It's not of Jesus. Man, he healed people that had faith, but he also healed people that had no faith. Zero faith, right? And so we as a church, man, we come with expectation. We believe that God heals still today. We believe that he restores marriages. We believe that, man, he can do whatever he wants to do, but we don't have to try to force him. We just want to join him. Does this make sense today? Does this make sense with y'all? And so we don't feel like we got to manipulate him. And then the last one, and this is what I talk to our team all the time. At the end of the moment, in the end of the situation, here's the goal. Love is the win. So man, we expect God to move. Man, we've seen God do miraculous things in our church. We've seen him heal. We've seen him, man, from back pain to shoulder pain to cancer. We've seen God do incredible things. But when I'm with my prayer team, when I'm with our deacons, when we have our prayer nights, this is what I say. I say, guys, we believe that God's gonna move today. We just wanna join him. But here's the thing. If we don't see physical healing, here's what I think he wants more than anything else. He wants that person that we pray for to know that he loves them. And how much simpler, how much like peace can that bring us? Like if my goal in any interaction, whether I'm talking to somebody at work, whether I'm praying for somebody I don't know, whether I feel like, man, I got a word of knowledge for somebody and I bring it to them with humility, that the goal of that is that they would encounter the love of God. Oh, man. Because you know what continues forever? Is love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, man, if you got faith to move a mountain, but lack love, it's a waste. But he said, love endures. Love persists. And so I just wanted to share an example here today as I close out and before we do some ministry time of an example that you may say, well, why are you sharing that example? Because, you know, it didn't happen. The thing didn't happen. Well, I think it's important for us to recognize that we're gonna pray for people and they're not gonna be healed. And we just gotta get over that fear, okay? So I prayed for a lot of people and I've seen a lot of people healed, but listen, I prayed for lots of people and they've not been healed, at least from what I can see, or it's not been in a moment. Does that make sense? And so when I was still an engineer, I was actually in change management and a chemical company in Houston. I had a coworker. She was probably in her mid-50s. She was really spiritual, not really Jesus. You guys know the Christian I'm talking about, like super new age, like flowing dresses all the time and kind of just like whatever was out there, but really not interested in Jesus at all, but very, very spiritual. And I always enjoyed her. She had a little bit of a speech impediment once in a while when she was in a meeting. We worked with some pretty intense people on the staff level, and sometimes she would get in the heated moment and she would have some speech things, and I just had a soft place in my heart for her. And one day we were out and we had to come back and there was not enough cars, so actually she drove, and so I was in the passenger side and she was driving. And I said, I won't say her name, but I said, the conversation, I said, what would God do that he could show you that he's real? It's a super like low level question. It wasn't like, do you believe in Jesus? Will you confess his name? No, it's like what in your life, like what would happen that you're like, man, God is real. And she's driving. It's kind of the best time. You have them kind of captive audience there. It's kind of like the airplane, but if somebody's driving, they have to like stay with you. They can't, you know? And so she's driving in Houston and she's like, well, I used to love singing, but I have this saliva issue and I don't have enough saliva now, so my throat's always dry and I can't sing anymore. And she said, if I could have saliva, enough saliva and sing, I think that would be God. And so we get back to this plant site before we go into the office. I said, hey, would you mind if I just pray for you? Switch, closing that connection. And we're sitting in her, I think she was driving a Subaru, and we're sitting there and I just placed my hand on her shoulder and I just began to pray for her. And I prayed in faith that God would bring healing, that he would heal the saliva glands and that she'd be able to sing again. And as I'm praying in this little old Subaru, there was just an amazing sense of peace and love that filled the car. And I keep my eyes open when I'm praying because I'm always just trying to learn what is God doing and trying to recognize what he's doing. And as I'm praying for her, I see these tears rolling down her face. And it was a sweet moment. And we're finished. And I said, man, is there anything different in your throat? Like, do you got more saliva? It's kind of a weird question, but it's kind of made sense in the moment. And she says, no. But she said, you know what, though? I feel really seen and loved. And we have no idea what kind of seeds we plant. And so listen, as a people, as Christ Fellowship, man, we want to be a people that, man, we walk in the character of Jesus. But man, at the same time, we want to walk in the power of God. And that means that we take risks. John Wimber said that you spell faith R-I-S-K. You take risks. Sometimes we see the power of God come and miracles happen, wonders happen. It's incredible. We celebrate that. But there's sometimes where love breaks in. How many of you know that's just as powerful? And maybe more powerful, honestly, for some people. And so today, here's what we're going to do. I asked Jennifer to come on out here with me. She leads our prophetic ministry. And I asked her just to be praying of what maybe the Father wants to do this morning. And then we're going to have our prayer ministry team come up here, and we're going to dismiss. And so if none of this hits you and you're like, well, that's not me, man, there's no pressure to stay. But if you have any prayer needs whatsoever here in just a few minutes, we just want to set the table for Jesus. He sets the table for us. And so we just want to say, God, will you move in these moments, right? We just want to close that circuit and say, God, man, let your power flow how he wants. And so we're going to pray for many people today. And I'd encourage you before we leave, I tried to wrap up a decent time here today, not as quick as I wanted, but a decent time today, so we could have some time. And so, Jennifer, is there anything specifically that stood out to you? I've got a couple things that I was praying last night.
Yes. But yeah, I've actually got three quick things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all right. The first one was had to do with heart palpitations. I feel like if there's something you feel like has been wrong in your heart, like you're having palpitations or something, but it was even a little more than that. It was you're having those, but you've been afraid to say anything. You've been afraid to go to the doctor because you're afraid of what it might could mean. I just want you to know that the Lord sees you right now, and I believe he wants to heal that and complete that. The second thing is strained relationships with your children. I said something earlier about you've done a lot of things this week that, yes, the sin is great. Maybe there's something that happened this week that caused a strain with your child, and I just want you to know that the Lord is inviting you in to heal that today, that there is restoration available today for that. And then last but, of course, not least, and I think this goes right along with what Derek has been saying this morning, I feel like that there are people that the Lord has called you to something. He's inviting you into something, but you're afraid to take that step. You're afraid to say yes. And so I just want to let you know that there's an invitation this morning. One, for you to acknowledge that, yes, the Lord is calling me. Second, that you're afraid. And let him meet you in that space to carry you to the other side and give you a fresh vision of who he is.
Yeah, so those three things. It's so funny. Like last night, literally, we haven't talked about this, but I felt like the Lord said he wanted to heal heart arrhythmia today, which is exactly what Jennifer said. We didn't talk about that. So I feel like the Lord's probably on that one maybe today. And then I'm going to take a risk. As I was praying last night for the services, I felt like there was a man here that maybe he's wearing sandals today, or maybe he usually wears sandals, and you've been running from the Lord. And he wants you to know that he actually wants to give you the desires of your heart and to stop running from you. And so if that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out in front of everybody, but I'm going to be down here after the service, and I would love to pray with you. Jesus is after you, and he's just inviting you today. So let's stand up, and I'm going to ask our prayer ministry team to come along up here right now. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to end a little bit differently. I've asked these guys they're going to sing one last song, just the goodness of God, really quiet. But while they're singing, you don't have to stay. If you just want to hang out and enjoy God's presence, enjoy this song, you can sit back down in a second. Like I said, we got plenty of people that are going to be praying for whatever. If you need the power of God in your life, if you want to see breakthrough today, or maybe one of the things Jennifer said or that I said, we would invite you to come forward for that. But after I pray, you can head on out, or if you just want to linger a little bit while they play this last song, you can enjoy it as well. Lord, I thank you today that you are the source of power. Lord, we want to be a people that don't deny your power, but we actually welcome it. We walk in it, that we humbly but boldly walk in the character of Christ and also the power of Christ. So Lord, today, would you reveal the kingdom of God as we pray for different people, different things? Bring restoration. Undo the works of the enemy. Let your love flow this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us to walk every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in your power, with humility, but a willingness to step out with expectation to join you with what you're doing. Lord, we bless those that are here. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us to walk the walk of Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. If you want to hang out a little bit, you can. If you would like prayer, man, please come forward. Don't hesitate. We would love to pray with you. If not, man, have a great day. Enjoy some football this weekend.